Let's begin, Be'ezer Hashem, the 8th Perek, Perek HaChovel, Pei Gimel, Amid Beis. Chovel Bechavero, besides being a violation of an Issa Doraisa of Pen Yosef, also engenders compensation in a very unique way. As opposed to Nizkei Mamon, which generate an obligation to compensate the Nizak for financial loss, Chovel is much more than that. Chovel means to replace that part of the body that was destroyed, that was lost. Obviously, the Torah would say, if we took it literally, ayin tachas ayin, but that's not going to replace the loss of the Nizak and the Nechbal, I should say, but rather five payments. And these are the five famous payments we've discussed in the past that are enumerated here. This is the original source in our Mishnah. HaChovel b'chavero chayav alav mishum chamisha dvarim. And here Reb Chaim Brisker says that the unique category, in essence, of Tashlumei Chavala, as opposed to other Tashlumei Nezikin, is that what generates the Chiyuv Tashlumin is the Avera itself. And the purpose of the Tashlumin, as we said, is to replace the Hezek. So what are the Chamisha Dvarim? We know Nezek, Tzar, Ripui, Sheves, and Boshes. And the Mishnah is going to now get into detail, the Gemara even further. B'Nezek Ketzad, how do you evaluate Nezek? And the Mishnah gives the example of Sima es Eino. Reuven took out the eye of Shimon. Oh, another case would be Kata es Yodo. He removed the arm of Shimon. Shibes Rago. A third case, he broke the leg of Shimon. Roim Oso, we evaluate the Nechbal, the victim. Ki ilu hu eved hanimkar b'shuk, as if he were to be sold on the market as an eved. The Rush here at the beginning of Perek HaChovel says that the eved here is not the eved ivri, who's only sold for 6 years, and that would command a more limited price, but rather an Eved Knani sold on the Shuk Li'olam forever. And that estimation, that evaluation of the value of the Eved would command a higher price in the case of an Eved Knani. And this payment of the permanent devaluation of the Eved Kanani is a mirror image, a reflection of the Hezek itself, because the Hezek itself was a Hezek Li'olam. He permanently removed a limb of the Nechbal's body, and since the Chisar Never is Li'olam, therefore the evaluation, the Shuma, should be a Shuma based on Li'olam. The Shuma reflects the value of a person on the market as an Eved Kanani. Now, the Chidushei Anshei Shem claims that according to Rashi, the Shuma here would be that of an Eved Ivri, not like the Rosh of an Eved Kanani. And in defense of Rashi, he says that we view this Eved as if he was sold for 6 years. But perhaps after that, we would add another Shuma of another 6 years until the day of his death. One is tempted to wonder, according to the Chidushei Anshei Shem, where exactly is the machlokas between Rashi and the Rosh? Other Rishonim point out that the reason why in Nezek we're not evaluating it by how much a person would be willing to pay, that in order to avoid this accident, that's a concept we'll soon see with regard to Tsar, but let's flip it around the other way. How much would it be worth for a person if I would offer him a deal? You know what? I'm gonna cut your arm off. How much would you pay me? How much would I have to pay you, the Nechbal? Can we always have Reuven and Shimon, the Chovel and Nechbal? How much would Reuven have to pay Shimon in order for Shimon to be willing to sustain this loss of an Aver? How does Shimon the Nechbal evaluate in monetary terms the amount of money it would be worth it for him to, in other words, I offer you $1 million, $1 billion to cut off your arm. Would you take it? You know, at some point, maybe the financial compensation and would be tempting enough for you to take it. So the Rishonim, the Meiri, and others say that that's not the fair way of doing it, because that would come, the sum that you'd come up with that evaluation would be so enormous that the Mazik could not even dream of paying such a sum. The Rush adds something important here to this discussion, and he says, "Ein shomen oso dafka kevid pachus ela kol adam kefi malachto." In other words, when we talk about selling this individual as an Eved, those who would bid to buy the Eved, would the sum of money that they would be willing to pay reflects that particular Eved, that individual, and what his talents are. For example, there's something called a Nokev Margolios. You know, he's in charge of taking a rough stone and perfecting it. And now his arm was taken off. As a result, his devaluation is enormous, because if he has a specific skill, then that would command a great sum on the market. Now that skill is completely destroyed, and as a result, the devaluation is very profound. And that, according to the Rush, is the way that we evaluate this Nezek of Chavola. And in so doing, we can see clearly that the individual occupation or employment or profession of the person, the Nechbal, is very much a high profile, very much an important factor here in evaluating Nezek. But this concept that the Chovel should not be charged too much, excessively, but there should be an element of reduction of his payment, is reflected here in Rashi. And the Rush again, that let's say, for example, when you want to evaluate the how much the Evan went down in price, you might ask an Adon, if let's say you own this person as the master of this Evan, if you possessed him, how much would you be willing to receive for the deal, for the barter of taking off the Evan's arm? And that again would be damim merubim. That would be an exceptional, excessive amount of money, and the chovel would suffer a tremendous financial loss if he had to pay that amount of money. The Ramban in Melchama speaks about kama yofa hu ata below yado raglo. In other words, we have to take consideration after the process of healing. In other words, if we're going to evaluate him now, and see the devaluation at this second, who's going to buy such an Eved? He has to go through an entire healing process. But rather, at the end of the day, we just take a look at the devaluation of, you know, resulting from and generated by the loss of a particular Eved. So again, the Mishnah says, "Rono so ki'ilu hu eved hanimkar b'shuk shomin kama yofe v'kama hoya yofe." What was he worth before the chavola? V'kama yofe, how much is he worth now? And the discrepancy will be paid by the chovel. B'tzar, what about tzar? Kvo'o b'shipud o v'masmer v'afilu al tziporno, which is described in the Mishnah, tziporno as a makom she'eno osech habura. The Mishnah gives examples of tzar, the payment of tzar, in terms of situations where the nechbal didn't actually lose a part of a limb of his body, but even though he still is sholem, you know, his body is still functioning, but nevertheless he suffered tremendously. For example, the Chovel burnt his body with a hot shipud. That's kind of a metal. We call it a spit or a masmer, some sort of a very hot nail. You know, piece of barzel. And again, it doesn't matter what the size of the masmer is, but the suffering was tremendous here. And even in a case where he took the masmer and he hit him in the under the nail, let's say, for example, al tziporo, and that's not called a chabura because a piece of flesh was not removed. But the Mishnah wants to tell us that nevertheless there's a payment of tzar here, and that's called tzar shelo b'makom nezek, which is the sugya on pei dalid. And the Gemara is going to bring a controversy regarding that, but the Mishnah seems to reflect the shita that you pay tzar even if there's no nezek, meaning even though the nechbal's value as an eved on the market was not decreased, nevertheless there's a payment of tzar for this chavola. Omdim kama adam rotze kayotze bezeh, if a similar person to this nechbal, in terms of what's his threshold of pain, how much pain he can take, and everybody, each person is different in terms of his pain threshold. Kama adam kayotze bezeh rotze lito lios mitztarkach. If you would offer him money to suffer this, how much money would he take? How much money would he demand? And in order to be prepared to suffer this anguish, this physical pain, that's the amount of money that Reuven the Chovel would have to pay to Shimon the Nechbal. The Rashash understands here in his meticulous reading of Rashi that there's only one factor that plays in as far as evaluating tzar, and the subjective nature, how this evaluation would shift from one nechbal to another nechbal, and that is the variable of kama hu meunag, you know, how much of a person is sensitive and he has, as we said before, a low or a higher threshold of pain, how much money would he be willing to take to suffer this pain. There's certain people who want to avoid pain at all costs, they'll pay the top dollar. But there's another variable here that could have logically come to the fore, and that is how much money does the Nechbal own? What does he have in his bank account? You know, if he has more in his bank account, so he doesn't care about paying more in order to avoid pain. That factor, Rashi omits here, that's not part of the Shuma of the Masharin of how rich he is or how poor he is. That's not to be added to this equation. The Rambam, however, at the beginning of Chovel Amazik Perbeis, adds Omdin Zos Lefi Ribui Mamono. We have to consider how much money he has. So that's a fundamental machlok between Rashi and the Rambam that has to be analyzed. Now, the Rush is of the opinion Ein Shuma, that we don't make a Shuma the ofen ze shari ein on a maskim shiyitzariu l'chatchilo. He says that people will not take money to be pained, to suffer. You know, I'm not going to offer you, you know, a deal in which I'll take $100,000 if you chop off whatever. And therefore the Rush is of the opinion that the Shuma here of Tsar is kefi ma shehoya odom shenischayev lemalchus shechaveu b'shpud al tziporno maskim l'shalom k'dei shlo yasu lo tzar zeh. In other words, the Mishnah, when it says kama odom rotza litol, what it means is that we should make the evaluation based on a person who had, because of his criminal record, he is going to be punished by the Malchus through these kinds of actions. You know, they'll hit him with a hot piece of iron, Rachmana Litzlan. How much would he agree that they shouldn't impose, you know, to get off the hook and spare himself of that tsar? The Mishnah continues, Ripui, there's a chiddush here in paying for medical expenses, hiko, if the chavola was such that the nechbal shimo now has to go to the hospital, for example, chayav liraposo, he's got to guarantee with his payment absolute total ripui. And this is derived from the double language of rapo yirape in the Gemara in Pehei. And therefore the Mishnah continues by saying, olubo tzmachim, if the infection is such that in the entire area surrounding the makah, the hakah, is full of what's called in Hebrew ababuos, you know, it's boil, the boils and redness and infection. In machmas makim, we have reason to prove that medically this is a result of the chavola. Then chayav, he has to pay for that too. Again, to get to achieve total refuah, shalom machmas makah. If it's not a result of the makah, which again is hard to believe, but potter, he doesn't pay for that. Now, chayis of anistera, even though temporarily he was healed, but then afterwards there was a kilkul, there was a regression, and now again the manifestation of the makah comes back to the fore. Chayis of anistera, and they paid for the refuah, but once again there was a kilkul of the refuah, the makah goes back to what it was before. Chayiv, once again the chovel has to pay for that, because all of this, you know, rounds 1, 2, 3, etc., were caused by the original hakah, and that's all included in ripui. Don't view this as a kind of one shot deal, you know, he looks good now and that's it, geendik, the story is over. But chaisa koltsark, if we got to the situation in which he was completely healed, this nechbal, and for some other reason, we don't know what right now, but some other reason he got sick again, but that illness is not directly traceable to the hakah, to the chavola, is eno chayv l'raposo. And one would wonder exactly what the chiddush here of the Mishnah is in this particular case. Then we get to Sheves. The Mishnah says, Roen oso, we evaluate the nechbal, ki ilu hu shomer ki shuyim. What does it mean that you pay the person unemployment? At what level? So again, we saw already in Nezek that the particular profession of the person is taken into consideration. Here, when we come to the halacha of Sheves, the payment of unemployment, that has a standard uniform profession, so to speak. We're talking about an easy job, a shomer kishuyim. You know, today we use scarecrows and other things. But let's say you wanted to pay a person to walk around the field. And now, as a result of this hakah, he suffered this chavola, and he took a loss of days and days, or maybe even weeks and weeks of work, of employment. How much would he have been paid as a shomer kishuyim? And again, even though the nechbal Shimon is a diamond cutter, or he's a hotshot lawyer with expensive billable hours, nevertheless, we're just going to pay him for the basic loss as a shomer kisuyim. It's a kind of what we'd call today in modern terms minimum wage. Shekvar nosan lo d'mei yodo u'd'mei raglo. And the Mishnah explains this and justifies this much more limited, restricted compensation, because Nezek itself has already swallowed up that individual profession, the subjective element of what this Nechbal, this Shimon would have done with, you know, working on, you know, in Goldman and Sachs or whatever it is, in a high, let's say a high paid job. That already was swallowed up, was reflected in the payment of Nezek. And when we get to Sheves as a separate independent payment, we're focused on how much would he have lost on a basic minimum wage. In general, one could ask, why should one pay Sheves when you've already paid Nezek? But the answer is, the Nezek is the overall valuation of the loss in terms of the Guf HaAdam, and his market value has decreased. Now we're talking about specific, or this is related specifically to this Chavola, to this Hakah, how much of an unemployment suffering, because he couldn't go to work, did he lose? How much of a loss did he sustain because of the days and weeks following the Hakah that he couldn't go to work? And finally, the fifth category in the Mishnah, Boshes, is Hakol Lefi Hamivayesh Vamizbayesh. Here, everything is subjective. There are no objective categories here. You know, if you embarrass a person who's, let's say, a rank and file citizen, that Boshes is a little bit more limited than if you embarrass someone who's Boshto Meruba, who would suffer a tremendous amount of humiliation due to his station in life. And also, there's another factor here, which is called Hamavayesh. If the Mavayesh was a simple person, then the Boshes goes up in value. It's like an inverse relationship. Because look, I was humiliated by a lowlife. And that's a great deal of humiliation. And again, if the Mizbayesh is an Odom Choshuv, that would jack up the price of the Boshes. And now, the Gemara is going to raise the main question that's going to occupy our minds for quite a long time. And that is Amai. In other words, what's the source for Tashlumei Nezikin in the case of Chavola, Tashlumei Chavola? After all, the Torah says, Ayin Tachas Ayin, in Parashas Mishpatim, Ayin tachas ayin om rachmono is ema ayin mamish. Why don't we take the Torah and the verse literally, and we have to take an eye for an eye? And the Gemara answers, lo salka daitach. We're going to derive from Sukkim that eye for an eye, although it has its specific meaning, an important meaning, al pipshuta shel mikra, and perhaps according to the laws of justice, the nechbal does have a right to demand an eye for an eye. Although again, I'm not sure how that would compensate the Nechbal in this Havamina. But the Sanya, we learned in a Braisa that the Psukim, in this case Gzeres Shavah, is going to teach us that Ayin Tachas Ayin should not be taken literally. The Braisa says, Yochal, I might think, Simas Eino, Misames Eino, if he blinded the eye of the Nechbal, then Reuven's eye should be blinded. Kates yodo, mekates es yodo, shibres raglo, mishabres raglo. We should take this literally. An arm for an arm, a leg for a leg, Talmud Lomar, but we have here a gzeres shava, and that is make odom u make behema. Again, we're going to have to see where these psukim are, but at this point, let's accept it as a given. The Torah has Maka Odom, Maka Behema, and within the framework of this Gezeira Shava, the Torah is equating the payment for Maka Behema, if a person damages someone else's animal, with the payment for Chavola, if he assaults someone's body, another person's body. Maka Behema Tashlumin, clearly in the case of damaging someone's animal, you pay out of pocket. There's no aloch of an eye for an eye. Af maka adam litashlumin. So too, if a person removes the limb of another person, he pays. There's a monetary compensation. V'im nafshecha lomer, if you have a shlug up, if you have some objection, as we'll soon see what that objection is to this gzeres shava, then I have an alternative drasha. Harehu Omer, the Torah says in Bamidbar Lamed Hey, v'lo sikhu kofer l'nefesh rotzecha shu rosh alamus. in the case of a murderer who is condemned to capital punishment, you're not allowed to take from the murderer any amount of sum of money as a ransom to pay off and save himself and spare himself. You have to put him to death. But the Torah says because he's a nefesh rotzeach, there is no ransom for a nefesh rotzeach, for a murderer. But lenefesh rotzeach yata lokeach kofer, aval ata lokeach kofer, lerashe evarim shenim chozrim. In the case of a chavola, you can take ransom, meaning that literally an eye for an eye, that's the way we should mete out the punishment to the chovel. Again, I don't know about compensating the nechbal, maybe that's an additional payment, but in any event, the reason why Lemaisa, we're not going to take out his eye of the chovel, because he's going to pay a kofer, he's going to pay a ransom. He's going to buy his arm or his leg back by compensating the nechbal. So the Torah goes out of its way to specify that in the case of a rotzeach, we cannot and we will not tolerate, we will not accept kofer, any sort of ransom. We're going to have to put the rotzeach to death without any mercy. But in the case of a chovel, there is kofer. He can spare himself the punishment of ayin tachas ayin and pay a kofer. Now, here the Gemara uses a phrase called Roshe Evarim and Einam Chosim. This is a phrase that's actually borrowed from a different parasha, parasha's Negoyim, in terms of Tzaras and what kind of phenomenon appears on the skin, on the body. But it's being used here and borrowed here in the context of Chavola. And now what the Gemara is about to do, having completed this presentation of the Braisa, is to analyze where are these Psukim and where is the Parsha. So what we're going to try to do is take out a Chumash, Vayikra, read through the Psukim, and that'll give us a good introduction to the Sugyas HaGemara. So if you have a Chumash Vayikra at the end of Parsha's Emor, Perek Chav Dalid, the Pasuk Yud Zayin says, "V'ish ki yake kol nefesh odamos yumas," and clearly that's the case of a murderer. Pasuk Yud Ches, "Umake nefesh behema," somebody who damages someone else's animal, yishal mena. And then it says, "Nefesh tachas nefesh." And then in Pasuk Yud Ches, "V'ish ki yite mum ba miso," clearly a case of chavola. Kasher osa ken yase lo, shever tachas shever, ayin tachas ayin, shen tachas shen, kasher yiten mum bi odom ken yinosein bo. And finally, posuk chaf aleph, umake behemi shalmena umake odom yumos. And the Gemara is going to say the following, hai make, what make is the Braisa referring to when it says that there's a gzeir shov of make, elam, if we should assume it's this last pasuk that we quoted, make behem yishalmenu make odom yumos, then hahu biktoliksiv, that pasuk is not referring to a case of chavola, because it says make odom yumos. Obviously yumos means that we're talking about a case where he is guilty of a capital crime. Now, I'm not sure exactly which capital crime we're talking about when it says yumos, maka adam yumos. We don't seem to be talking about a murder case, l'chor, because that we had early in the parsha when it says ish ki yake kol nefesh in Pasuk Yud Zayin. More logically, we might be talking about the case of maka ovi v'imo, which is also a capital crime. But in any event, this pasuk is not talking about a chavola. And there's no shaychus here of mammon, of tashlumi mammon, to tell me that, no, we're talking about paying mammon because of the equation to maka behema. We're not talking about a punishment that's financial and a monetary compensation. This is not a din of chavol, this is a din of a capital crime. And that's why the pasuk says, maka odom yumas. Now, if we presume that the pasuk here of Maka Odom Yumas is talking about Maka of Imo, we know clearly why the Gemara is assuming it's a capital crime, because, you know, wounding a parent is a capital crime. And that stands in contrast to the original pasuk in this parash that we read of Ish ki yakeh kol nefesh adam mos yumas, that pasuk might yumas might be interpreted, as we'll soon see, in a more liberal sort of way, and not literally. Now there's a Tosus here, Dibra Maschil Make Behema, and Tosus quotes the Ri as saying the following. Why did the Gemara, as a Gzeira Shava, quote Pasuk Yud Zayin? Why didn't the Gemara just go back to the original Pasuk in this parasha? And there the Torah says, Ish ki yakeh kol nefesh, and then it says, Umake nefesh behema. That should have been a perfect Zereshav of Make. And Tosa says that perhaps at this point the Gemara thought that that original Zereshav is needed for something else. Ayin Shom B'Tosus. In any event, the Gemara says the following, Ahu B'Ktolik Siv Ela, but rather the Zereshav is Mehocha. And now we look at Pasuk Yudches. And there it says, Umake Nefesh Behemi Shalmena Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. And that's talking about a person who kills someone else's animal. And the word make means, so means he has to pay for the value of the animal. And immediately afterwards, in the very next pasuk, the Torah says that if a person inflicts a blemish, a mum, a wound into his friend, is kasher osa ken yasa lo. So we're talking about a case of yitein mum, of nesinas mum. That's a case of maka odom, that's chavol, that's our discussion here. And just as a horig behema pays money, so too a chovel pays money. But the Gemara is not happy with that either. And the Gemara objects by saying, hai lav makehu. In other words, when it says in this pasuk, Ish ki yite muba miso, that doesn't justify Gzeirah Shava, because the word make here is not in the pasuk. It's yite mu. The Brisa says that the Gzeirah Shava of make make. So the Gemara reinterprets the Brisa. Hakah hakah kamina. The Brisa is not finding two words that are identical, and we're not talking about Gzeirah Shava of make from the language make, but rather hakas adam hakas behema. There's an equation, an analogy here between hakas adam and hakas behema, one who inflicts a wound into a person and one who inflicts a wound into an animal. And therefore the language of yite mum implies very strongly a hakah. And therefore when we get back to makesh, make nefesh behema, and now we equate it with ki yite mum be'amiso, ma hakah mur v'behema, just like in the case of make nefesh behema, tashlumini pays, he pays compensation money. Af so to akah mur bi adam, in this pasuk of yitein mum ba miso is l'tashlumen. But wait a second, what does the Torah say about ish ki yitein mum ba miso? It's explicit. Vaksiv, it says in the pasuk ish ki yake kol nefesh adamos yumos. Obviously, if the pasuk is talking about a chovel b'chavero shaloi miso, then mos yumos must mean something other than what we translated literally to mean that we put him to death. We can't put the chovel to death because of the aver of the nechbal that he removed. And the answer must be b'mama. In other words, even though the pasuk says ish ki yake kol nefesh on the mos yumos, but since it's referring to chavola, because it says ki in the next pasuk it says ki yitein mum ba miso, then mos yumos must refer to mama. So the Gemara is not happy with that either, because mi mai dibe mama, and how do you know that the pasuk is referring to a monetary compensation, ema perhaps be miso mamish? And what the Torah means by miso mamish is that we should take out the aver of the chovel, Reuven, who assaulted Shimon, should suffer the same exact loss of limb that he inflicted on Shimon. and that limb will be destroyed, will be killed, and that's called Misa Mamish, because again, the Torah used the language Mos Yumas. And then we're back to taking Ayin Tachasayin literally. Lo Salkadaita, no. The Gemara answers it's impossible to say that. And I have two reasons for you. Chada, number one, Da Iskash Lemaka Behemish Almeno. Because if you apply the principle of taking out his Eiver, the Eiver of the Chovel, then you've undermined the principle of equating Makeh Nefesh Adam with Makeh Nefesh Behema, because in the case of Makeh Nefesh Behema, you pay, and here you're telling me, no, take off the limb, remove the limb of the Chovel. The Odin, furthermore, Ksiv Basrei, in the very next pasuk, it says, Kashi Yitein Mum Bi Adam, Kein Yinosein Bo, Shma Mina, it must be that we're talking about Mama, we're talking about Tashlumin. Because it says Kain Yinosein Bo. Now Yinosein Bo, as the Ravid explains it, is a Dovar Hanitein Miyad Liyad. In other words, whenever you say Yinosein, you're referring to payment of money. And therefore, when we say Bi Adam, when we say that Kain Yinosein Bo, it must be referring to Mama. The Gemara now explains the rest of the Braisa. Umay, what does the Braisa mean when it says im nafshecha lomar, that you have some objection against this limud of makeh makeh? And the Gemara explains su kasha l'tana. The Tana had the following question, which he alluded to. He didn't spell it out. My chazis de yolfis makeh mi makeh behema leilif mi makeh adam. Why do you choose for your gzeirah shava pasuk yud ches, which says makeh nefesh behemi shalmeno, that chovel also pays if he takes out the aver of someone else? Leilif, why not derive this gzeirah shava from the pasuk, which is pasuk chaf aleph at the end of this parasha, mimakeh adam? There it says umakeh adam yumas, and yumas we said means that we take out the aver of the chovel. Now, if we had time to go through this tosus af, we would see that Tosus leaves out in his gears a whole chunk of this Gemara, this last paragraph that we learned, the Shaklavitaria, and he lists here four different questions on our Girsa, and the bottom line is that he decides to take out this Girsa. But in any event, the way we have the text, Amri, the Gemara gives the following explanation as to why we should derive the din of chovel v'chaver from makeh behemah, not from makeh adam. Donim nizakin mi nizakin. In other words, rather than learn the case of chovel from the case of a rotzeach, where the rotzeach's life is taken, and therefore the life of the eved should be taken in the case of chovel, we're going to compare nizakin to nizakin. In other words, we're going to view the case of chovel b'adam as a case of damages similar to the case of damaging someone's property, in this case someone's animal. Both are considered nizakin. If he ain't done him nizakin mimisa, but we're not going to equate the case of chavola to the case of murder, because that's not nizakin nizakin, that's nizakin mimisa. And we should not derive the chiv mamin from a chiv misa. The Gemara is not happy about that, because Adraba, what are you saying, that Chovel is similar to Makeh Behemah because it's Nizakin, is done in Adam Yadam. There's a greater similarity and an affinity between Chovel and the case of murder, Horeg as Adam, because it's all Adam Yadam, as opposed to possessions, Achef Shalmam and Vein done in Adam Behemah. Don't equate an assault against the body of a human being with classical nezikin, in which a person damages someone else's property or his animal. And hainu d'ketani, this is what the Braisa had in mind when it said im nafshecha lomar, that if you're not happy with this drasha, and therefore the Braisa introduces a different pasuk in Bamidbar, harei hu omer, the pasuk says v'lo tikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach asher hu rasha lomus, lenefesh rotzeach iato lukeach kofer avalato lukeach kofer l'roshe evorim shenim chozru. As we saw before, the Pasuk in Bamidbar is telling us that in the case of Chavola, there is a kofar, and there is a monetary payment that could replace and save the Chovil from his just and appropriate, well-deserved punishment of taking out his Eiver. Vahai, the Gemara asks, wait a minute. You're telling me that this pasuk is coming to exclude the case of chovel? Haimi boile, we need it for itself. The omrachmanalo savid be tarte. In a case of someone who kills someone, you might think that the rotseach is obligated in two payments, or I should say in two punishments. In addition to the fact that we take his life, and that's the implementation of a capital punishment for murder, we also have to have him pay. We have to have him pay again. This will go to the Yorshim, obviously, pay compensation. And on that, the Torah says, no, lo sikhu kofer. For that, you don't have to impose a chiyuv kofer. Now, exactly how this sugya is going to square with the sugya of Kim Leib the Rabbi Minei, and why shouldn't we apply the principle of, well, let's implement the more severe punishment, in this case obviously the capital punishment, and put on the back burners any other punishments like monetary payment, that needs to be studied. But in this point in the Gemara is not aware of this principle of Kim Leib the Rabbi Minei. And the Gemara answers, hi, but we know already that he doesn't have to pay moment from the principle of accumulating rabbe, mikdei rishaso nafka. In Dvarim Chafhei, it says, v'kol afad of kdei rishaso, and the famous principle, the famous derivation, mishum risha achas atomachavi, atomachavi mishum shtei rishayos, or rishios, and it means that you don't impose two punishments for the same crime, for the same act, same criminal act. And therefore, in the case of someone who's chayav misa, certainly you would not impose any chiyuv kofar. So Gemara says, "Akati mi boile." I still need the pasuk for the din itself to come. Rachmana lo sishkol moment v'sifterei. The Torah is trying to say that no matter how much, how many billions of dollars this rotzech is willing to pay as ransom money to save his own skin, we don't accept that. We have to put him to death. Who says, therefore, that the pasuk itself is coming to exclude the possibility of imposing a similar kind of punishment on a chovel? Where do you see in this pasuk a miut excluding chovel? And the Gemara answers, you have to read the pasuk very, very meticulously. In Cain, if the pasuk is only coming lafuki kofer as a replacement for the chi of misa, is lichtov rachmana, the Torah should have said lo sikhu kofer lasher hu rasha lomus. There are two words in this pasuk that are completely superfluous. And those all in nefesh rotseach. It could have easily omitted those two words. Shma mina, but rather these two words are coming from miut. Lenefesh rotseach, ia talokeach kofer, avala talokeach kofer, l'roshei varm shenem chozrim. In other words, we don't consider a chovel included in nefesh rotseach. He's excluded from nefesh rotseach. He's not a rotzeach, and therefore you cannot receive any sort of kofar. Rashi expands this to include not only a kofar mamon, but even malchus. Any other punishment cannot replace the punishment of misa, again, in the case of nefesh rotzeach, but in the case of a chovel b'chavero, there we can accept a kofar. The Gemara now raises the following objection, v'chimei acher d'chsiv, v'lo sikhu kofar l'nefesh rotzeach. And you want to tell me that on chavola we do take a kofar, we do take a monetary replacement payment. If that be the case, maka lomali. The Gemara now swings back to the original gzeres shava of the brisa, tries to figure out why we need this gzeres shava, what justifies the gzeres shava, and the Gemara answers, amri, imi hai, if we only had the pasuk lo sikhu kofar, hava mina, we would have raised the possibility that since paying money is a kofar to exempt the chovel from losing a limb, from taking his limb as a punishment, is maybe it depends on the choice of the chovel. Let Reuven let Reuven make his decision, give him two options, Iboy Eino Nisav, Viboy Dmei Eino Nisav. If he's someone who's stingy, who's holding on to his money's more, worth more than his eye, he may opt to have his eye removed. And maybe that's what the Pasuk is telling me, Lo Sikhu Kofer. Kamash Molon, that's where we need the Gzereshav. The Gzereshav of Make is going to establish Mi Behema, just like in the case of Behema, Ma Make Behema Litashlumin, the only option that he has is paying money. Af Make Odov Litashlumin, this Kofer that we discussed before is the only option, the only way to go. He doesn't have a right to sacrifice one of his Evarim in order to exempt himself from the payment of Tashlume Chavola. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, and this is perhaps another way of again clarifying and emphasizing how we derive that Ayin Tachas Ayin is not to be taken literally. Rabbi Dostoy ben Yehuda Omer, Ayin Tachas Ayin Ata Omer is Mamon, Ata Omer Le Mamon, O Eino Elo Ayin Mamish. Again, the same Havmina that we saw before, maybe we should take the pasuk literally, an eye for an eye. Amrit, we'd have to raise the following objection. Areisha Hoysa Eino Shel Zeh Gdola V'Eino Shel Zeh Ktana. You know, where would the justice be if this guy has a larger eye and this one has a smaller eye? Again, I was very misspoiled from this Gemara. I didn't understand why the Gemara would raise such a havamina. Really, what's at stake here is sight, you know, not the size of the eye. Hechani kori ba ayin tachas ayin. How would it be that I could implement ayin tachas ayin literally? If you blinded a person that has a larger eye, and now as a replacement, as a punishment, quid pro quo, we're going to blind the eye of the chovel that's a smaller eye. V'chiteman, if you'll say, you'll argue, kol ki hai shakal minei mamona, that maybe enochinami only in that scenario, which is the exceptional case, that the nechbal has a large eye and the chovel has a smaller eye, and it's disproportionate, only in that case there's mamon. Is that Torah Omra Mishpat Echod Yilachem? But the Torah says in Vayikra Chavdalit, right here in this parasha that we just read in at the end of Emor, Mishpat Echod Yilachem, Mishpat Hashavah L'Kulchem. We have to have an objective, uniform standard of punishment and of payment. And therefore, the only way that we can guarantee that Ayin Tachas Ayin is a universal, absolute rule that is applied uniformly for every case of chavol to every chovel is only if we assume it means mama. Amri, the Gemara says, my kusha, I don't understand your objection about this one has a larger eye, this one has a smaller eye. Dilma, nahora shakal minei, the payment here and the compensation has to be for the blinding, you know, not the size of the eye, but the fact that he lost his sight. And if Nahora Marachman and Ishkol Mine, then it doesn't matter. We should take out the eye of the Nechbal, and that would be a fulfillment of Ayin Tachas Ayin. The Ilo Tema Hachi, if you're not going to allow me this logic and grant me this premise that whatever the size of the Chovel's eye is, if it's small or large, it's irrelevant. But it would always be, you know, It would be in the Havamina to say that no, Ayin Tachas Ayin means we have to consider the size of the eye. In other words, when we're replacing part of a body by removing part of the body for part of the body that was replaced, it's got to be a similar Aver. You know, if it's an Aver Gadol for an Aver Gadol, is then cut on, and here we look on Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, Shehoreges HaGadol, if a smaller person, let's say he was only 5 feet tall, Horeges HaGadol, he killed someone who was 6 feet tall, or Gadol Shehoreges HaKatan, or the opposite, let's say he was 6 feet tall and he killed someone who was 4 feet tall, is Hechikat Lidale, how can we put him to death? I mean, the Torah says Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, just like it says in Chovel, Ayin Tachas Ayin. And if you're going to tell me, well, okay, if a small person kills a large person or vice versa, then we're not going to apply the principle of most yumas, is then not Torah Omra Mishpat Echad Yilachem. Nishbar Hashava Lekucha. So therefore we don't differentiate between one person, not in the size of his goof, El Neshama Shakel Minei. The underlying principle is that you killed a person, you took his life. Is Neshama Rachmana Nishkal Minei. The Torah says we have to take the life of the Nirtzach, as Hachanami. Here too, Nahora Shakel Minei, Nahora Rachmana Nishkal Minei. He robbed the Nechbal of his sight by blinding him, and that's what we're going to do to the Chovel. And if that be the case, we haven't successfully justified the logic, the argument of Rav Dostoy to remove Ayin Tachasayim from its simple pshat. We can take it literally.
Tanya Idach, we have another brice again addressing the same question of Ayin Tachasayim. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Ayin Tachasayim Mamon. Ata Omer Mamon. O eno ela ayin mamish. If you take this pasuk literally, an eye for an eye, haray shahaya suma v'sima v'sime. Let's say the chovel himself was blind, and he took out the eyes of the nechbal of Shima. Or let's say the chovel Reuven was a kitea. He had no yad, he had no arm, v'kita, and he took off the arm of the nechbal of Shimon. Chiger, if let's say he didn't have a leg, the chovel, the chiger, and he took off the leg of the nechbal, hechani makayim b'zeh ayin tachasayin. So what are you going to tell me, that this is the exception to rule? Enochinam, he's already blind, and he cannot possibly be subject to a literal implementation of Ayin Tachasayin. So let's say that that's the exception to the rule, and then Enochinami, the fallback position, as he pays Mamun. V'Torah Omra, Mishpat Echad Yilachem, Mishpat Hashava Lekulchem. So it's impossible to apply, says Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, the principle of Ayin Tachasayin literally, straight across, uniformly, universally across the board, in every single case. And by the way, we see from this braisa something interesting on the side, that even a blind person is chayv mishum tashlumei chavola. And we have to understand, if, as we said at the introduction, the chiyuv of tashlumei chavola is generated by the avera, then even a blind person, a suma, is included in the avera. Amri, the Gemara says, Umay Kush, I don't understand Rabbi Yochanan ben Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's argument that if the Chovel doesn't have an Aver, you cannot fulfill Ayin Tachasayin Dilma, perhaps. Hecha the Efsher, Efsher, Hecha the Lo Efsher, Lo Efsher, Patrinan Le. In other words, the Gemara now is not bothered by Mishpat Echad Yielachem, Mishpat Hashava Lekulchem. Perhaps what the Torah is saying is that Mikra Din, we have to take out his Aver. But if we cannot take out his Aver, then in such a case there's a compensation to replace the Hotzas Aver, to apply the Ayin Tachasayin literally. So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi, three lines down from the top of the Amud, he says, Patrinale below Klum. In other words, it's not the way we thought, that maybe the Gemara holds that it's still a kiyum of Mishpat Echad if there's a fallback position. If we cannot take the Aver of the Chovel out, we make him pay money. No. That would still be a violation of Mishpat Echad Yelakul. But rather, in a case where we cannot take out his Aver and fulfill Ayin Tachas Ayin literally, then he gets away scot-free. And the Chovel suffers absolutely no punishment nor any compensation. And Rashi says that itself does not in any way do injustice or undermine the principle of Mishpat Hashava Lekulchem, because Mishpat Hashava Lekulchem means that the punishment has to be the same. In El Chinami, the punishment is always going to be Ayin Tachasayin. And if we cannot implement Ayin Tachasayin, Litolus Eivor Mamish, is then he's Potel Gamre. And the Gemara brings even a support for this argument. Ilo temach, if you don't agree with me, then treifa shahareges ashole mayav dinan le. If a person is a treifa, that means he has an internal injury to one of the organs that are absolutely vital, and we know that for within a period of, let's say, 12 months, he's going to die. In such a case, then if he, the treifa, kills someone, he's guilty of murder, what are we going to do in this case? what din and what punishment can we apply to a treifa? And here we get into the whole sugya that we learned way back on Ayin Hey about Edus Shi'iyat HaYochol LaHazima. And it means like this. We cannot put the treifa to death, since he's going to die in any event because of his internal injury. He's considered already as an Adam Harug, as if he's dead. And now, if the Edom that testify against this treifa will be subject to Hazama, and we want to apply the principle of Asisim al Kasher Zomam, well, that's impossible. Where's the Kasher Zomam? Because we cannot say that the Edom accused the Nidon of a Chiv Misa, in other words, they wanted to impose upon this Rotzeach this treifa, echiv misa, because the rotzeach is already considered al pidin a harug. And this makes it into edus she'iyat yochel azima. This is the thrust of Rashi, dimar maskel mayav dinan lei. So therefore, we cannot do any justice to the treifa, the rotzeach treifa here in this case. And if that be the case, why not undermine the entire parasha of capital punishment for murder, because where's the Mishpat Echad Yelachem? Ella, but rather the only fallback position you could have is Hechad the Efshar, Hechad the Lo Efshar, Lo Efshar, Patrinan Le. When it's possible to implement a punishment, namely capital punishment for Rotzeach, that's what we'll do. And we'll always do that. Just as in Ayin Tachasai, whenever we can apply that literally, we always will implement that punishment literally. But if a person is outside the pale of this literal implementation of a literal punishment, then he's potel legamrei. That doesn't shake up or vitiate the principle of mishpat echad yilachem. Because again, mishpat echad yilachem means whenever we apply the punishment, we will apply it uniformly and universally, and that's exactly what we're going to do. So therefore, the Gemara wants to quote another brisa. In this case, the Bei Rabbi Shmuel taught Amar Kra. The pasuk says, "Kasher yitein mum bi adam, kein yinasein bo v'ein nesina ela mamon." So we're talking about yitein mum bi adam. That's the classical scriptural description of chavola. And halacha is, says the Torah, yinasein bo, which means nesina, which is miyad liyad, which is mamon. So Gemara is not happy with that either, because ela meyata. If you're telling me that we're going to base ourselves on Kein Yinasein Bo as Nesinas Mamon, then what are you going to do with the previous pasuk, Kasha Yitein Mum Biadam, Hachinami to Mamanu? What does that mean? Yitein Mum Biadam. Again, the word Nesina, which you identify, Rabbi Shmuel, with Mamon. Certainly, the pasuk here is referring to mum mamish, yitain mum biadam. So you see, the word nesina could mean physical loss of a part of the body, and therefore, when the pasuk says kein yinasein bo, it's referring to the yitain mum in the resha, and we're talking about replacing the lost aver by removing an aver. So the Gemara answers, Amri, the Bei Rabbi Shmuel, they're not learning it just from the Nesina, but rather Kra Yisera Darshi. There's an extra pasuk. Michtei Ksiv, the pasuk says, in the previous pasuk, it says, V'ish ki yitein mum ba miso, kasher osa kein yase lo. And the question is, since the Torah has already given us the description and the formulation of the Chovil B'Chavero, that Yasa Lo Kamisha Asa, is then in the next pasuk when it says, Kasher Yitein Mum Bi'Odom, Kein Yinasein Bo Lomali, those words, Kein Yinasein Bo, are completely superfluous. Shema Mino, it must be that this pasuk of Kein Yinasein Bo is coming to establish, coming to teach us Mamon, that instead of implementing the punishment literally of Ayin Tachasayin, we force and we demand that he pay monetary compensation. The Gemara is not happy with that either. Kasha Yitein Mum Bi'Odom Lomali. Why did the Torah have to say Kasha Yitein Mum Bi'Odom? That seems to be totally unnecessary. And the Gemara answers, Aidi the boy le michtav, Kenyi nosim bo, Kosov nami, Kasha yitain mumbi adam. The Torah wants to follow symmetrically with the same language. And since the Torah was going to say, Kenyi nosim, since the Torah was going to say, wanted to write at the end of this pasuk, Kenyi nosim bo, with the lashon of Nesina, and therefore the Torah at the beginning of this very same pasuk says, Kasha yitain mum bi adam. Now another brisa, a Tana, Debei Rav Chiya Tana, in the Beis Medrash of Chiya, they taught Omar Kro in the Parsha Vedim Zomim, the Torah says, Vashisim lo kasha zomim lasos liyochi velo sochus einecha, and then it says, Yad biyad, regel beregel, and the simple pshat of Yad biyad is, Dover anitein liyad liyad mayniu momon. So it means if the Edom testified against Reuven that he was Chovil b'Shimon, and then the Edom was subject to Azoma Imono Ayisem, we don't take out the Aver of the Edom, but rather the Edom pay Mama. And if that be the case, then apparently we have to assume that the Chovil himself is paying Mama. Otherwise, it makes no sense that the Edim in the fulfillment of Kasha Zoma would be paying Mammon. So the Gemara asks, Elameyata, if this be the case, Regel b'regel nami hachihu, then we should assume that the interpretation of Regel b'regel is Mammon, and Yad b'yad is Mammon. In the case of regel v'regel, it doesn't seem possible to say that that's a reference to mama. In the case of yad b'yad, okay, dover anitei miyad liyad, but you can't apply that principle of dover anitei miyad liyad to regel. And therefore, if regel means literally, then yad b'yad should also mean literally. Amri the Gemara answers, the Bei Rabbi Chiya kroy yisera kadarshi. It wasn't the mashmos apostle. It wasn't from the simple, straightforward pshat in the apostle. They were focused on the extra words in the apostle. Midek siv. It says vasisim lo kashazomam lasos li achiv. Isal kedaitach mamish is yad biyad lomali. The Torah has already said that we do to the Edom exactly what they wanted to do to the nidon. So if you're going to tell me that the nidon was chayev as a chovil to have his organ removed, and therefore we must assume under the pasuk of Kasha Zomam that the Edom likewise, insofar as they schemed to have this chovil lose his aver, they too should remove that. So yad biyad lomel, why the Torah feel compelled to spell it yad biyad? Shma mina, it must be dover anita miyad liyad, which is mamon. No, regel beregel lomeli. So why did the Torah have to add regel beregel? I the siv yad biyad kosev nami regel beregel. It's kind of a literary hashlama. Abaye omer, another source perhaps for undermining the literal interpretation of ayin biyayin, is asya mi detoni debei chizkia. Detoni debei chizkia, ayin tachas ayin. Nefesh tachas nefesh, v'lo nefesh v'ayin tachas ayin, v'yisal kedaitach mamish zimdin mishkachas le'ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin, t'bahadi t'ivr le'nafka le'nishmose. The Torah went out of its way to tell us that ayin tachas ayin, stop. Nefesh tachas nefesh, stop. But don't take a person's nefesh and his ayin together. And now if you're going to take ayin tachas ayin literally, you may actually take his nefesh. You know, if you remove someone's eye, he might die from such a surgical operation. And then you violated the principle that separates between ayin tachas ayin, nefesh tachas ayin. You've created a situation of nefesh ve'ayin tachas ayin. The Gemara says, what kind of logic is that? My kusha, what's your problem? Dilma Neimad Amdinan Lay. What we have to do is what's called an umdura, that means Bezin has to first evaluate what the criminal can tolerate, what his body can tolerate. And in this case the criminal is the Chovel. The Motzi Mekabel Avdinan, if they evaluate that he's healthy enough, that for example, if we take out his eye, he's not going to die from such a surgery, fine. V'ilo motzi mekabel, but if we see through this umdana, you know, we get a panel of expert physicians, and they say this body cannot survive this surgery, is lo avdinan, we're not going to take it literally. And if what happens is the expert said he can survive this surgery, but the Nafek Ruche, unfortunately, he died. Imayis Lemus. So if he died, he died. I mean, we did our due diligence. We implemented the Umdana. We came to the conclusion that we can implement Ayin Tachasayin literally. If he died, he died. That could happen. Call it a divine intervention. And I'm going to prove this to you, says the Gemara. Milotnan. Didn't we learn in a mission at the end of Makis, Legabi Malkis, it says, Omdua. Omdu, they evaluated whether the criminal can receive 40 Malkis and survive it. Umes tachas yodo, but as a result of the Hakkah, even after the Sumdana, the Baal HaVera, the Nilkeh, died. Is Potter? The Malkah is Potter. Why? Because they did an Umdana. And when you do an Umdana, that's what you have to do. And if he died, he died. And that's the story. So therefore, we come back to Abai's logic. And Abai asks, well, this situation which we take out the Chovel's eye and he may die as a result, therefore that undermines the literal implementation of Ayin Tachas Ayin. That's not correct. The Gemara is not happy with that. Because we will apply Ayin Tachas Ayin based on the Umdana, and if he dies as a result, that's not our problem. Rav Zvid Mishmei de Rabba Omar Omar Kro Petza Tachas Potza Litain Tsar B'Mokom Nezek V'Yisak Edaitach Mamish Ki Heichid Lavile Tsar Lahai Nami Islei Tsar Ki Heichid Lahai Havile Tsar Lahai Nami Islei Tsar. Just as the Nechbal Shimon had Tsar as a result of Chavola, then the Chovel Ruvain, the assailant, when we take out his Aver, he's going to have Tsar. So why is it that beyond Tsar, he has to pay compensation for the Tsar, the suffering of the Nechbal? I mean, after all, if we implement Ayin Tachas Ayin literally, then the Chovel has suffered the Tsar, and just as the Nechbal suffered the Tsar as a victim, so to the assailant as the Chovel suffered Tsar through Ayin Tachas Ayin. So what does it mean, according to Rav Zud's question, that the Torah went out of its way to tell us that Litain Tsar B'Mokom Nezek? Why? What justifies the payment of this Tsar? The Gemara rejects this argument of Rav Zvid, Umay Kusha, I don't understand what you're bothered by. How do you justify the fact that the Torah imposes a monetary payment on the Chovel to pay Tsar, and it's not sufficient that the Chovel suffered this Tsar himself through the implementation of Ayin Tachas Ayin, Dilma Ika Inish de Mefanek, Islei Tsara Tvei, Vika Inish de Lo Mefanek, Veleslei Tsara. There are some people that because of their very sensitive nature, they suffer a tremendous amount of Tsar when an Aver was removed. And there are other people who are not so sensitive, they're not so weak in their composition, and therefore less late Tsar. They don't have such a suffering of Gadol. Therefore, what we're saying is that not in every single case, when we take the Chovel's Aver, he's going to have that much amount of Tsar that is commensurate to the amount of Tsar of the Nechbal. Maybe there's a disproportionate amount of Tsar. It's very possible that the Chovel is not so sensitive. He doesn't suffer so much Tsar. He has a higher pain threshold as opposed to the Nechbal, Shimon, the victim. His Tsar is a little bit less, it's a little more limited than the Tsar of the Nechbal. So if the Chovel has a higher pain threshold, then the Nechbal suffered a lot more than the Chovel, and therefore the Chovel is chayev to pay Tsar. Ulamay nafgimino, lemeis vilei heich debeine veine. And therefore in this case, we're going to implement the pasuk of Petza Tachas Petza, and he's going to pay Tsar, and in that case, the Chovel pays the Nechbal the increment in the extra tzar that the nechbal suffered, or the, if you say it the other way, the hefresh, the differential between the tzar of the chovel and the tzar of the nechbal. If the tzar of the nechbal was greater than that of the chovel. So take, for example, let's say they estimated that the tzar of the Nechbal was 50 zuz, the tzar of the Chovel was only 30 zuz, and the Chovel would pay the difference, which is 20 zuz. And Amir Tzashem, in the next year, will cover the very unique approach of Rav Papa to prove that the Chovel pays monetary compensation. We don't take ayin tachas ayin literally.